Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Boys, put down your utensils. I want to talk to you about something real quick. If there's anything that you want to talk about, any kind of secrets, now's the time to put it on the table, okay? And if you tell me, we're not going to be mad.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
I went to the petting zoo and I let the goat lick my
butt.
No, honey. Promise you wouldn't get mad, okay? They're being honest.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
One time I put a firefly in my butt.
Why?
To make my farts glow.
Oh, God.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
I touched myself to Drew Carey on the bus, right?
God. Okay, that's enough. Stop, please.
The Fan.
Let me tell you what I want to do. Let me show you that I'm fan of you. Wanna freak, wanna ride with you.
Hey, let's do this. Final hour. Dirt and Sprague on a Friday. Thanks for being with us on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. We had a Stanford fan chime in and say, welcome to our world. No fans for our home games, but fans on the road. We're all playing by the same rules now.
Can other fans take note of a text like that? A person that
poke some fun,
loves
man.
Stanford and openly knows and admits that the fan base isn't the greatest for college football. Other fan bases could really... You could take some notes on that. That kind of approach versus the, how dare you? How dare you?
Blazers lead by 10, 5 minutes left in the second quarter. There's a timeout. Man, are they better defensively with Collins and Nurkic on the floor. I'm just going to go out and say that.
Well, Gary Trent had a hell of a run there. Nurk looks really good. I bashed him before the tip, and I just knew this was going to happen. Hazonia with a good start for them.
Hazonia!
They did a lot of separation while Dame was on the bench, which is important. They're up 10, although Ja Morant has done nothing.
It's because they're locking him up. CJ is a good defender.
And I would look at this and say, you need to extend this to about 12 to 15 points by the half. If they can do that, you might be looking at a runaway situation here.
Tasty action. 10-point lead right now. We'll get back into the Blazers, and we'll keep you up to date here throughout the final hour of the show. Sprague and Line at the bottom of the hour. From a sport that last night had a wonderful debut, everything is going great. Fans are fired up. We're all passionate about it. To a sport that is an utter and complete dumpster fire right now, ladies and gentlemen, I introduce you to Major League Baseball.
Hello, baseball. How are you doing? Are you feeling okay? You want to take your temperature?
No, don't take the temperature. It's way too hot and not looking good right now. So if you woke up to baseball Twitter today, it was that the St. Louis Cardinals had a couple of players test positive for the coronavirus. They, I believe, had already flown to Milwaukee and were getting ready to play the Brewers in the Brewers' home opener. That game... no longer being played. Now they're trying to figure out when they can play again. Only two players testing positive isn't a huge issue, at least on the surface level. And then you realize that they were on the same plane and the incubation period can take 7 to 10 days. An update on the Miami Marlins. They're now up to 18 players who have tested positive, as another one, I believe, tested positive earlier this morning. They are busing their sick players back to Miami. Did you see that story?
Oh, I saw that.
And it's gotten so bad where one of their top prospects, who I believe is a non-sick player, has just been sitting around, is now gonna basically he's saying, like, I'm going to opt out. Like, this is stupid. He's, like, sitting around his room. He doesn't know when they're going to play again. He's like, what am I doing? I'll see you next year. So that's where the Marlins are at. And then the latest news bomb came from Jeff Passan of ESPN, where he, according to sources, is claiming that the MLB commissioner has given a call to Tony Clark, the director of the Players Association, saying that if they don't do a better job of managing the coronavirus, it will be shut down for the season.
Yeah, well, I would expect nothing more from a terrible leader of a league, and I love that it's just all on Tony Clark.
Come on, Tony, figure it out.
Like the NBA, and I know they're doing a bubble, so it is different, but let's give them credit for creating a bubble because they knew that traveling would probably not make a whole lot of sense during a pandemic.
The bubble's been pretty locked down so far.
The NBA is a perfect partnership in a sense. The owners always would want to make more money, but they've recognized it's more of a players league than other leagues. They came together. They worked out a plan. They have, you know, disciplinary action and quarantine situations for when guys don't follow protocols. This is kind of part of baseball, right? If you're going to allow travel and not do bubbles, you need to implement hard restrictions for what guys can or cannot do. Not just quarantining. That's not the only thing you need to stop. Guys can go out and say, oh, I'm asymptomatic. I'll quarantine for a week and be good. If a guy gets caught going to a bar or a club, how about you have a penalty?
The manager of the Rangers, his name escapes me, did an interview on that the other day. He said, why are we not punishing these Marlins players who reportedly went out in Atlanta?
And I think it's a valuable point that was made by somebody I follow on Twitter a couple days ago. Baseball is not going to have most of these teams play 60 games. You know, it's impossible now for a team like the Phillies to get their 60 games in. They're just going to finish with like 37 or 40, and we're going to have winning percentage to base everything on. I think the real thing I look at here is how much worse can your season get to where bastardized asterisk type championship comes into a narrative. I don't know if I subscribe to it though, because wouldn't you say the teams who don't get hit by COVID maybe deserve more credit for getting through a season if they can end up putting themselves in a title?
That's honestly, a championship for me with baseball right now is the furthest thing from my mind. Yeah. I'm wondering, can you survive the next 2 weeks?
I mean, there's some, you know, it comes down to veteran leadership in the clubhouse and reminding everybody why you're doing this and all those sorts of things. The NBA, there were a couple of guys that missed, that didn't take their COVID test when it was scheduled. They got quarantined for 24 hours. The NBA was that. I mean, Dwight Howard, there was talk of sending his butt home if he didn't start putting on his mask.
He's an anti-vaxxer, so.
But I think all the players took it seriously. The most important players were taking it seriously. They understood what they were going into. And I just wonder how much the full rank and file of Major League Baseball understood what it was going to take, especially with them traveling and trying to conduct a somewhat normal routine in order to pull this off.
We're a week into the season. You have 20% of your teams that are not playing games.
Well, but we knew positive tests were coming, right? Like,
we did.
It's very fair to point blame. Like, if the Marlins are being just idiots with this, okay, let's point a finger. Some of these teams are getting impacted, and it's not going to be their fault.
That is 100% valid.
And
yes.
that's part of this
that sucks.
Non-bubble
risk that you're facing when you're not in a bubble.
That's what the Nationals were looking at. They said, we are not going to Miami. They got a lot of veteran guys in that locker room.
Yeah, they voted it down. We're not going down there
right now. We're not going to Miami.
And I don't blame them for that.
No.
I'm kind of wondering, should the Marlins just wave the white flag? You're not competing. Nobody cares about you. Your fans don't care about you. You fleeced the city for a $1 billion stadium while you absolutely covered up and lied what your finances were. That is a sports franchise that honestly you could just take away. I'll never miss Miami baseball.
I think you're honestly nearing that threshold of if they cannot play and they just changed up another aspect of their schedule, like they don't have a game on the books for another week.
Take them out, man.
Like, dude, yeah. If you end up missing, 15 of the first 20 games, like there's no point in trying to make that up. Have it be an open date for teams on the East Coast in case you need to mix scheduling up. These guys are already in a sprint to 60 games anyway. So yeah, you're going to lessen the total games played by some teams, but just boot them out, man. I have absolutely no problem with that. You are now, though, and we can get to this on the other side. I mean, you're teetering on the brink, and I don't know how the Cardinals players test positive, if it was just a run-of-the-mill thing, flying, being at the hotel, or if they did something they weren't supposed to do. But you can, like, these next 4 to 5 days, I think this weekend going into early next week, are absolutely pivotal, man. You already have 7 teams that can't play games right now. We don't know when the Phillies are going to, you know, be able to clear all their stuff and get going again. They're not scheduled to play until next Tuesday. Everybody's punting on the Marlins for now.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know how this situation is going to play out for St. Louis. They got 2 players now. You cross your fingers and you hope it's not going to be more. If you wake up on, let's say, Saturday or Sunday morning and you get the news of Well, players from the Minnesota Twins tested positive, and now they're having to postpone their schedule. And players from the Arizona Diamondbacks tested positive, and they have to postpone their schedule. Like, how far are you going to allow it to get before you just say, man, this is not working?
Right.
I'm terrified of that right
well,
now.
Well, but, well, okay, let me ask you. I know we're against it, but I'm curious to get your thoughts. When we found out they weren't bubbling, they were still going to travel and try to keep it regional, which I still don't know if keeping it regional really stops your COVID stuff.
Yeah, you're just shortening the flight lengths.
Yeah, I didn't understand that one. But what was your expectation versus what have you seen?
We can get to that on the other side.
Because I don't know if I'm all that surprised by what's happening. Because when you say you're not bubbling, you're putting yourself in a really tough situation.
Yeah, so the latest out of Major League Baseball, a couple of Cardinals players test positive. Their game's now postponed, and the commissioner has called Tony Clark, the director of the Players Association, and said, figure it out or we're shutting down the season. Where are we at with Major League Baseball? How long is this thing going to go hold on for? We'll get to that coming up next. Also have some Monday Night Football news to get to, and Bryson DeChambeau is a douche, and he wants to live a long time. All still to come in the final 45 minutes of the show. Back after this on 1080 The Fan. Welcome back in. Blazers lead 61-54. Coming up on halftime. Into the bubble. Some foul trouble to the bigs.
Oh. What the hell?
I mean, we can spray the line now if you want. We got some good fake sponsors rolling in. Keep them coming. 503-250-1080. Saw a joke on Twitter saying baseballs get shut down. The Marlins 2-1 record. 2020 NL East champs, baby.
Well, look, as a Braves fan, I'd love to take the Marlins out because we have less games at that point. And, you know, maybe the winning percentage is even better and you get a home field advantage situation. But when baseball was coming back and the bubble idea was clearly not going to be what the players wanted, to which I would say,
well, hold on,
the NBA doing it is great. I don't blame players if they don't want a bubble.
Yeah. I never thought it was feasible for Major League Baseball.
It might not have been.
Because you're dealing with 30 teams that, like, the NBA at least gets the benefit of, like, after eight games, you're going to lose how many teams? Six? After eight, how many games?
Oh, well, you go from 22 to 16.
So you lose six teams after eight games. So that's in, like, a week and a half, eight teams are going to be gone. Yeah. And then after the first round of the playoffs, you're going to lose eight more teams. So as you go on, there will be a few that will end up being there for a very long time, but they're playing for a championship at the end of that road.
Yeah, they're much less bubble time.
So if you're bubbling Major League Baseball, one, there's not an infrastructure where you have fields all over the place. The only place that people could think about was Phoenix in Florida because of spring training. But you can't, it's 120 degrees in Phoenix, man. You can't play in the middle of the day. So it's like the MLS with their games outdoors. You got to play at 9 o'clock in the morning or 10 o'clock at night. Unfortunately for them, I just never thought the bubble thing was feasible.
But I'm trying to read what expectations were versus what you are facing as a reality as a sports league. You're on the brink right now, as you mentioned. 20% of the league can't play. They keep kind of just kicking the can on the schedule down the road. After Saturday. No, it's after Monday now.
They're literally making it up as they go. And
yeah, because they don't know what else to do.
We have a new doubleheader seven inning rule that just, cool. There's that one.
Which pissed a lot of baseball fans off because it's just a way to basically say we're making up games and we're calling it after seven like this is Little League. I didn't expect different, though, Dirt. When you travel, whether it's regional or farther, that didn't dictate it to me. When you travel at any length, you're putting yourself at a bit of a risk, especially when you're going into 2, 3, or 4 game sets against teams. I'm not shocked at all that we're here, and I kind of get the feeling that you are a bit, or whether that's just disappointment. I really thought you're going to be looking at teams that played like 35 games, 40 game seasons because of the COVID, you should be taking extended time off when a majority of your team is testing positive and taking all precautions. So I didn't expect them to get near 60 games.
Yeah. And I just had optimism that I shouldn't have had. And I feel, you know, Jeff Passan was on ESPN this morning. I saw a clip of him that I thought was pretty good. And he said that he has the same feeling now that he did about Major League Baseball, about the NBA. And I hope that it's not a false sense of security about the NBA. Because when I'm watching the NBA, the Blazers are going to the half right now. By the way, they're up 68-60 is your halftime score. Looks like Trent hit a three right there at the end of the half. But
he is balling in the
first half.
He's
having a great game. But you have, like, when you're watching this game, right, there's not a fear for me with the NBA of, like, God, how long is this going to last? Right? Like, I'm thinking, like, this is cool. Can Portland make the 8 seed? Can they make a run? Can you maybe make some noise against LA in the first round? I had that feeling about Major League Baseball when it first got underway, because initially the teams were back for about 2 weeks. Now, this will prove your point on traveling, but the teams were back for a couple of weeks and the testing numbers were phenomenal. Like, guys, it felt like we're doing the right thing. They weren't getting, you know, case numbers were minimal, if non-existent, and everybody was basically good to go before the year started. Juan Soto's had a weird false negative trying to get back thing with the D.C. politician stuff going on. But other than that, you were fine to start the year, and then you made it like 4 days into your season. The Marlins break loose. Now you get the Cardinals. Phillies are going through it as well. Like, I thought it was going to make it a little bit longer, and I didn't think we would be at DEF CON, whatever, and 1 week into the regular season.
Well, but when you get to this point and you got a strong percentage of your league that can't play, look, the owners have already been public about this. They're losing money by having any season. I think this is a false, it's a bit of fake outrage. How dare you guys clean
from
this
Rob
up?
Manfred, yeah.
It's like, really? You guys probably are secretly rooting for this season to shut down because you're not going to have to spend any more money on this makeshift bastardized baseball season.
Yeah, I mean, it's when you're a weekend and you're literally making it up as you go in terms of scheduling, in terms of doubleheaders, and now only seven innings, like that's going to change. Hours before the first pitch of the season, they change the playoff format. Like, they're just making it up as they go, which part of me laughs at and wants to say, come on, Manfred. And the other part of me says, well, I mean, this is uncharted waters for everybody, so to a certain extent, I guess I can't blame them. The positive outcome that I can see here for baseball, and I don't know if they can get there or not. First, the next week, again, is pivotal. You got it. You can't have other outbreaks. If you go the next week where things look okay for the Cardinals, the Phillies get back to playing next Tuesday. I don't really care about the Marlins anymore. Let's just, you know, kick them out of Major League Baseball. I'm all for that. But if you can go the next week and kind of stable the ship a little bit, I think that will calm a lot of people down. If that isn't the case, then I wonder, can you get to a point where you play enough of a season? Like, can you get 20 to 25 games in and then just say, hey, whoever the best teams are, we're going to go have a tournament somewhere and crown a champion and call it quits.
Yeah.
Like, we're just going to go, like, we'll go do a, you can't do a bubble.
Are we going to count that, though?
No, but at least have some form of conclusion. Because if you shut down Major League Baseball, you're not starting up again.
But it's
that's not. It. Your season's done.
Yeah, but it's not an accurate conclusion. I think that's the problem is, as much as I'm trying to be optimistic on the, can we get rid of the asterisk conversation and just say, hey, it's weird, right? Nobody wants this. Nobody wants to beat all in just Orlando playing basketball. But if we end up getting an NBA champion, you played far more than half your season and everybody has to deal with the circumstance of COVID, I think that's real. Whether it's the hardest title or the weirdest title, maybe both, I don't know. But you do have a level for me as a sports fan where, sure, you get to the conclusion, you crown a champion and you move on and you say, hopefully COVID goes away, we could do this right. You do have a threshold where it kind of just becomes a bit of a joke, not real enough for me to go, oh yeah, I remember the 2020, you'll remember them, but you're not going to hold them in high esteem if you have a percentage of your league that can't play, you rush everything, you get straight to a playoff, you're not going to recognize the Yankees 28th championship or the dot. Like, how is swag going to feel? Imagine being a fan of a legit
contender.
You count that if
it's your team, baby.
Yeah, but guess what? Nobody's going to really look at that and go, oh, yeah, good point. The Dodgers won it that year. No, not if 30% of your league can't play.
There was one baseball writer who had a tweet saying, let's just shut it down and invite a select number of teams to a location to go play for the championship right now. But everybody mocked it, though, because he included the Red Sox and the Giants in the tweet. And
he went
like,
with the
what?
Big dogs, yeah.
Why the Giants have like a double-A roster. Why the hell are you inviting them to the championship bubble?
Yeah.
So not looking good right now for Major League Baseball. But hey, that's where we're at as they're warning to shut things down. I do want to get to a bit of positive news. Can I slip it in here in this segment?
Yeah, cheer us up.
I'm actually doing okay.
You're doing okay?
Yeah, the Blazers are playing good basketball.
Hey, it's going to be all right, man. It's going to be all right.
Sun's out.
We got dates for college football.
We got
Pac-12.
An idea of what the Pac-12 is going to be.
The Monday Night Football booth has been announced.
I did see this too.
Yes.
So I think we already knew Steve Levy, right?
Well, we knew Fowler and Herb Street were going to do a game.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But we didn't know, I think, specifically
who the main guys were.
So they are. It's going to be Steve Levy, Brian Griese, and Louis Riddick.
I'm not a three-man booth fan, although I grew up on that with the Monday Night Crew back in my my youth days. But
you know, like threesomes?
Well, if I'm involved, it becomes a foursome. I don't know.
Excuse me?
Wait, what?
Well,
if I'm involved with three others, that's four people.
What you got going on at home, man?
Yeah, you got to spice up the relationship.
We swinging?
I think you kind of give a feel of who asserts themselves as the possible number two between Greasy and Riddick. And then you kind of determine that, that's your crew moving forward. Levy and or Riddick, Greasy, Fowler, Herbstreit. It's a gimmick. I'm not a big fan of the Fowler football thing. He kind of goes Gus Johnson for me, but
I think that's just going to be week one, right? That Fowler and Herbstreit are doing it.
Yeah, because they have two.
They have the double header.
They have the double header.
Berman used to call
the
game.
So it used to be Berman with Dilfer.
So this will be the full-time booth.
Yeah, the full-time booth. Levy, we okay?
We're okay.
Wow. All right. Wow. Yeah. All
right. Are we going to have to pull the shades?
A tan. A solid tan. There was.
You go to prom with me.
She was hot.
Yeah, the sun brings out the talent, man.
She wasn't wearing much clothes. She's riding by on a bike. Sorry, she was hot.
What were we talking about? Oh, that's right.
Baseball.
Levy, Greasy, and Riddick.
Threesomes. No, Steve.
I think that crew will be much better than people's expectation for.
I love Lewis Riddick.
I think Levy's going to be great because he doesn't take himself too seriously in that spot. He likes to have fun. If the game is a blowout, he's not going to sit there and try and convince you that some team's going to make a miraculous comeback. He will lead a conversation about what's coming up next for these teams. Lewis Riddick is a great guy to have those conversations. If the game is great, then the game will take care of itself.
Now, let me pick your brain on this. I know we're about to spread the line. Steve Levy, I think, has always been, I think he's a good play-by-play guy. I've heard him do baseball, hockey, football before. I think he can be good in this spot. Can guys like Steve Levy transform their reputation and go from, oh, yeah, Steve Levy, to Al Michaels,
to a Jim Nance kind of level?
Jim Nance, yeah, thank you. I was blanking on Big Nick. Can he elevate from Steve Levy to, oh, that's Steve Levy, right? Because Monday Night Football does stand alone by itself every week.
It's a big job.
And I just wonder if this late in your career, can you go from, oh, yeah, I know that guy, to, hey, he's on the call tonight? Because that's the difference, no, right?
Well, I think you have to be on network television. I still think you have to be on.
Well, they're going
to
be on ABC. We know that rumor is going to start having ABC Monday Night Football.
I think the guy that has the chance to be the star is Lewis Riddick.
I do, too. I think he has a chance to become the next big thing at ESPN. I think he's a great studio analyst.
Yep.
He does awesome when he fills in on games. And this was the no-brainer. Like, when you were running through names of guys to be the new color analyst, like, this is an astronomical upgrade from Booger McFarlane.
Yeah.
It's like not even in the same universe of talent in terms of breaking down games.
And aside from the two guys just not being very good, what I noticed year one of Booger, Tessitore, and Witten, it jumps off right away to you when you have a three-man booth. One guy just stands alone, and you go, yeah, he's the clear two here. Not even sure we need the third.
You might end up doing that with Greasy.
And I wonder if Greasy falls in that. He doesn't comment as much. Riddick kind of is the standalone. And they go, okay, we tried three. Riddick, you stood out. I didn't like Booger all that much. I did think year one, it was pretty evident he should be in there more so than Witten. And that's saying something about how bad Jason Witten was.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, Greasy and Levy have done a lot of college football games together, so their chemistry will be good. I think Riddick will pay more attention to making sure he fits in properly. I think Greasy's, he needs to focus on the analysis, X and O analysis. If he does that, he'll have his little niche then to shine kind of in a Tony Romo, former quarterback, here's what's going on sort of thing. If he can hone in on that piece of it, and then I think each one of them will have kind of their own little niche to make it a little bit more balanced and equal.
Yeah, I think it's great news. Monday Night Football booth this year going to be Steve Levy, Brian Greasy, Lewis Riddick. They've announced that going to be the full-time Monday Night booth. Levy and Greasy have called college football together for a long time. Adding Lewis Riddick to the mix, all for it. I think it's going to be awesome. Let's spread the line. Get your fake sponsors in. 503-250-1080 is the fan text line. Got some good ones rolling in. We got a ton to gamble on this weekend. We will do it next.
Spring in the line,
brought to you by selling out of a college football stadium during COVID. Still is safer than a Sprague pick. Sprague and Lie brought to you by Jimmy from LinkedIn. Hey, Sprague, it's your bookie from Five Dimes. Thanks for
Jimmy from LinkedIn.
Thanks for connecting, and I'll be sending you some bitcoins. Sprague and Lie brought to you by Sprague staying home to watch games. It's easier to order medium pizzas from home.
I'm eating a slice of large Costco pizza as we speak.
Oh, yeah, Costco's got good pizza.
Yeah, but okay. Don't try to tell me Costco has good pizza. You just tried it for the first time like a week ago.
Sprague and Lie, I'm brought to you by Sports Returning, or as Sprague's wife's lawyer states it, Exhibit A to her most recent divorce filings. Sprague and Lie, I'm brought to you by Useless Talents. Have you ever seen someone pull picks out of their ass? I present to you, Brandon Sprague.
I wouldn't call that a talent. Useless, yes.
Useless, yes.
Talent, no.
Probably not. Dickert also snuck in a joke about Bryson. That's really good. I can't read it, though. Sprague and Lie brought to you by Mike Golick. After 22 years, it's the end of an era. Maybe you guys can spend 10 minutes on it. We'll get to it Monday.
I won't be here Monday.
Yeah, we'll get to it Monday. We'll do it Monday.
I will say I saw the last 7 minutes.
Did you see the last segment?
Yeah.
He was with his whole family and everybody lost it.
Really cool.
It was cool.
Really cool that he got to do it in his basement with his family and... I'm not the biggest MGJ fan, but his thing to his dad was, I kind of got choked up a little bit.
Yeah.
It's impossible not to.
Now, did you see Greeny on the Get Up Thursday?
Pathetic. Absolutely pathetic. You spent 20 years with a dude. You gave him 2 minutes of TV airtime.
Yeah, they didn't reunite for a final segment.
It's two minutes. You're impressed by a two-minute send-off to a guy he did a radio show for 20 years with? If he left after 20 years and I culminated into a two-minute breakdown of, he was a nice guy, I liked him, he was good at family.
Yeah, I deserve 45 minutes at least.
You should punch me in the face and I should never utter your name again. Absolutely disgraceful. If you leave here, Swigard...
You can tell they still hate each other.
They just... Yeah, well, I don't know about Golick, but like, I just... If Swigard leaves in 5 years, takes a gig, if all we give is a two-minute thank you send-off, Jason Swigard should be allowed to bring the driver and hit every single one of us. That's a tasteless send-off, and I expected nothing less. So
does
not
this count as our Mike Golick segment?
Yes.
Did we just do it? Was that it?
Well, I mean...
No, I can't do it Monday. I was going to do it Monday.
Look, he revolutionized athletes doing radio.
You're all by yourself on Monday. Radio.
Yes, nobody here. I was going to do a Mike Golick segment, man.
Well, it's one of the first shows I ever listened to and introduced to sports radio on a national level. And I get that they take their fair share of criticism for kind of being a commercial for like 18 different sponsors every return back. The teases are the most generic radio teases. Coming up next,
brought to you by
baseball. Will it happen? But they were one of the more transcendent sports radio shows of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Golick might not have been the best number two of all time in radio history, but give him his due for going as long as he did. I didn't expect a whole lot, but come on, a 2 minute monologue.
Yeah.
Pathetic, dude. You did radio for 20 years together.
Sprague and Lie brought to you by Sprague's Wonder Weasel, the only thing that offers less than a Sprague pick.
Touche.
There's one in here. I don't know if I can read it.
Well, read it anyway.
Should I try it?
It's COVID.
Sprague and Lie brought to you by Sprague's Men's Viagra Support Group. Like a Sprague pick, it was a flop and nobody came. I'm not going to read that one because that one's offensive to somebody on the show. Sprague and Lie brought to you by A Night at the Bachelor's Inn, the only thing that will leave you burning worse than a Sprague pick.
Sizzler.
I'm going to get any others in here. I'm just scrolling through. Sprague and Lie brought to you by the Treasury Department. If they're smart, they'll just mail Sprague's next stimulus check directly to his bookie.
Are we getting stimulus again? Is that happening?
That's the rumor, but they've got a...
They got a weekend. They got an extended weekend off to go vacation at their second homes.
Right. Go vacation. There's nothing expiring today, is there?
I don't think so.
The extra unemployment.
Oh,
benefits.
Is that what it was? People
take care of your vacation,
other
though.
Provisions
first.
Of the CARES Act.
Yeah. Take care of that first.
Go campaign and go vacation.
Sprague and Lie brought to you by Grayson Allen, bitching, moaning, and complaining, just like me after taking a Sprague pick.
Why?
Okay, let's get to Sprague and Lie, shall we? Who do we like tonight? There are a couple of games going on in the NBA. By the way, the Blazers now up by 9 points. 75-66 is your score.
They're looking good.
They are looking very good. Your live line is 8.5 on them, so I don't know if you guys want to live bet that. I had them at 2.5, so I'm feeling pretty good about that. Put that down before the show. Three games in the NBA still to come, 3:30, 5, and 6. Bucks and Celtics.
Mm-hmm.
Milwaukee favored by 4.5 over Boston. You have Sacramento and San Antonio. The Kings are a 3-point point favorite over the Spurs. And then the last one of the night, a fun one, Houston and Dallas. That'll be a fun one to watch. Dallas favored by 1.5 against Houston.
I am going to take Boston plus the 4.5.
Me too.
I think it's going to be a close game. I'm going to take the Kings as a 3-point favorite. I don't know if there's a team that cares less about being in Orlando, and I'm including the Suns in this, than the San Antonio Spurs.
What about the Wizards?
No, those Wizards players love playing.
Okay.
So I'll at least give them that. And I will take the Rockets as a tasty plus 1.5. I would go with money line at that point.
So yeah, the Rockets are plus 105.
I wanted to take all those games too.
Dallas is, I think Dallas is overrated.
Why Dallas is a favorite in that one.
Luka.
Is somebody not playing for, well, Gordon's out.
Yeah,
but
Gordon rolled his ankle.
He rolled his
that
ankle.
Was bad too, by the way. He's going to be out for a while.
I
haven't liked Dallas when I've watched him play much. Luka's great, but
I don't know if they have the discipline to be ready for things the way that Westbrook and the Beard are going to be ready. I think they're going to understand and be able to create their own intensity. I think the youth of Dallas will make it'll be hard. I don't see Luka and Porzingis being able to match that early on. I think Westbrook might just go rampant.
Well, a little further than that, too. So you got NBA games, by the way, going on all weekend. Again, the Blazers play again on Sunday. They're up by 6. Timeout now in the third quarter. You also have, starting tomorrow, and I know you're all over this, right, because you're going to watch all of them. There's 5 NHL games tomorrow and 5 NHL games on Sunday. So tomorrow you got New York, Carolina, Chicago, Edmonton, Florida, New York, Islanders. First one was the Rangers. Montreal versus Pittsburgh, and then Winnipeg and Calgary. Mm. Those are your 5 games tomorrow. They start at 9 a.m. They go all the way, and the last one starts at 7:30. Hockey on, wall-to-wall tomorrow, baby. Let's go.
I'm going to take the Red Wings to win the whole thing.
Yeah, they didn't make the trip to Toronto.
Oh, they didn't?
They suck.
They did not.
Oh, I'll take my Maple Leafs.
They did not. When does Toronto play?
Home ice advantage.
Toronto plays Sunday at 5:00 against Columbus. Ooh. They are a 1.5 favorite on the puck line.
They're going to beat Seth Johnson and the Blue Hornets.
The Blue Jackets?
That's what I said.
I'll actually take the Blue Jackets on the money line.
Ooh, let's go.
Don't bet against
my
team.
We got action going against each other. Let's go.
I'll also take Winnipeg plus the 1.5.
Yeah.
They looked like they were ready to go.
Do people find hockey a good sport to gamble on or too impossible?
They say if you were willing to do a little homework, there's probably more money to be made on hockey than your other sports that get a lot more public betting.
Mm. Okay.
I like that. I'm going to take my parlay tomorrow. I'm taking Edmonton minus the 1.5 on the puck line. I think they're going to blow Chicago out. McDavid looked locked in.
Yeah,
I'm taking Philly to cover against Boston. They're a 1.5 underdog.
Well, their goalie's been playing really well, too.
I'm with Swigard on the Winnipeg line to cover against Calgary. And then do I want to throw in it? No, I'll probably just do that. A little 14 parlay.
What about Columbus, Toronto? Where are you leaning?
I will, you know, just because you're such a hockey expert, I'll listen to you and take Toronto.
Thank you.
On the money line.
Dude, you've got Austin Matthews and Justin Bieber on your side.
Justin Bieber, yeah.
So you can't
lose.
It's
big time, man. You got
Timbers are plus 190 in the quarterfinals Saturday night against NYCFC. If they survive that, all the things that should have gone wrong and cost them the Cincinnati game, then they might play a little free and easier.
Are we prepared for how crazy this weekend's going to be?
No.
No.
Are you gonna?
Like, this is Walt. I mean, are you kidding me?
You also have a WGC golf event.
You wake up and all day you're gonna have a sports option.
All day, you can go anywhere you want.
Can I ask a very quick soccer question?
Quickly.
So, should they be favored or not against New York? Is the New York team good, the Timbers?
They're good, but they're also plus 135.
Who are you taking? Because I want to go the oppo. You don't
I'm taking
know.
The Timbers.
You're taking the Timbers. Timbers are plus 190.
Well, he just jinxed them.
I think there's value there.
He gave me a win on week one of their opening game. Swag took him, and I followed his advice. And
they said they weren't going to get out of the group of death. They won the damn thing.
But they won their first game.
I'm hoping Gio will start Nizgoda now up there playing with the Bobasi. Jimmy Chara hasn't done much at all.
What are you saying right now?
These people?
Are those real?
Nizgoda is, he was the sub that came in.
What's his name?
Nizgoda with an N. Yeah. He's from Poland.
Come on. Do some research.
And Gio plays what position?
Gio's the manager. Gio Savarese.
I knew
he's
that.
He's the guy in charge.
Like to say, as a Timbers fan on the show, I knew that.
I didn't.
I've watched your last game.
That's good to know.
He was fired up, rocking a T-shirt, high-fiving everybody.
I would imagine
sideline.
Jeff Clark will be much sharper than he was in the last 15 minutes. He came up big in penalty kicks.
He did come up big in the PKs.
Goalie?
It's the goalie. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, goaltender?
Keeper.
I don't know. It's close. It was when we were off a little bit on that one.
You so nonchalantly say these names, and I'm wondering like how many people are like me going, what position does that guy play?
There you go. Spring in line every Friday at 2:30. All right. We're already against it. Let's get to Bryson DeChambeau being a douche, and we'll try and get you all set for a, as we just noted, loaded sports weekend. Next on the Fan. There you go, fist pumping your way into the weekend every single Friday. I can't wait, man. I'm going to golf tomorrow morning, bright and early, get home, sit down on the couch, watch sports all day.
It's a bit of a struggle when you got kids, when you get weather like this.
It's tough, man. I get that. I'm going to set up my TV, my iPad, and my computer out on my patio, and I'm going to have three different things going on at the same time.
You're going to sit outside? Isn't it going to be, like, really hot?
I don't think so. I think this weekend's supposed to be, like, mid-80s.
It's supposed to start cooling down.
And tomorrow's 85, a little overcast. That's perfect, man. Get out there in the afternoon, hanging out.
Make sure you got, umbrella or some way to get shade so you're not in the direct sun. But, yeah,
pounding pops all day. Let's go. It's going to be fun.
I got to figure out when I want to slot in the golf. Because we got the golf show tomorrow. Hey, Scott Harrington, do you remember him?
I do remember Scott Harrington.
He's going to join us tomorrow morning. He's not playing this week at the Barracuda. So we're going to check in on him 1 year after he finally made the PGA Tour out at the Winco last week and see how things are going for him.
Awesome. An update on the Blazers, by the way, in Memphis. Things are tightening up a little bit.
They've kind of always been a bit of a struggle bus in the third quarter with Terry. That's the one area that...
Yeah, what is up with that? Why are they such a bad third quarter team?
I think they just kind of let their guard down a little bit. And whether they're trailing or leading, it almost doesn't matter. There's something about when they come out of the locker room as a group, they're just like not as engaged. But once they get it going by the end of the third... The fourth quarter is Dame time.
They were up by 8 at the half. That lead has been cut down to 2. It's 79-77. We're about the halfway point of the third quarter. They've been outscored 17-11 so far in the third.
Whiteside's got 4 fouls. Nurk, I think, is still playing with 3, and Zach has 3. So you're 3 bigs, and the foul calling in this game has been terrible. But
you only want one off on that. Collins has 4. Nurkic has 2.
Oh, okay.
So Collins has 4 personal fouls, Nurkic has 2, and Whiteside has 4. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's still a bit of a problem.
Still, you got 2 of your big guys in foul trouble.
I got to say it, man. He looks surprisingly good. He doesn't look much different.
Who are we talking about?
Nurk.
Oh, yeah.
But, what I'll say, I think a good difference, too, if he can keep maintaining this, awesome. So far, what we've seen... Maybe there's just something to potentially bigs and what his role is versus like Paul George is who we compared him to a lot, right? Paul George, primarily ball handler, dominant on the wing, kind of needs his athleticism, his quickness.
Very true.
Maybe not needing that as much as some of the perimeter-oriented guys who have suffered pretty bad injuries that are similar. But, one game into their restart, he looks good.
He's moving really well, and I think it's also important to remember, too, and this is one of the reasons why I would never win all in on the, hey, trendy pick to upset the Laker kind of thing, but one of the reasons why I understood kind of where it was coming from is that you have him coming back not in a normal sense. Like, he had an extra 4.5 months.
Yeah, that's pretty beneficial.
Imagine if this was that first game against Houston on March 15th. There's no way in hell he looks like this, right? He's maybe playing 15 minutes. He's not as quick laterally. You give him an extra 4 months to get in better shape, keep the weight down, continue to run. I think it was just huge for him, and he does. I think the shooting will come. He's 3-9. He's missed a couple of bunnies around the rim.
I'm not saying he's out here.
That stuff's going to come just with more minutes, I think.
And so. I think it's important to highlight, too, didn't he go over an entire year calendar-wise between when he last played?
Yes.
Because of that four-month break, whereas PG and Gordon Hayward came back
right, on a
9-10 months later. So
81, are they now they're about to be trailing. Well. The TV's a little delayed.
Oh.
ESPN's ahead. Yep, Ja Morant, coast to coast layup.
Ja Morant is so fun.
82-81 is your score. Before we go, do you guys want to live until you're 130 years old? Because Bryson DeChambeau does.
It depends on my condition If I'm like what a normal 85-year-old who lives a pretty lengthy life is, yeah.
Yeah.
But if I'm having to be taken care of the last 10 years,
no. If
I'm
in a chair with an oxygen tank strapped to me.
You don't want that end of life.
No. Can I still play 9 holes of golf 3 times a week?
Bold move.
You're at 111? Getting a bit aggressive there.
I like that.
Yeah, you playing at 110? How old are you? 110.
110.
Shoot my age.
There you go. Hey, have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks so much for being a part of our Friday. Sprague and Swigart will both be out on Monday, but I'll be here, I believe, with Joe. And we'll be breaking down everything from an awesome, awesome sports weekend. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you Monday at noon. Number one is next, listening to 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.